No, those songs really are the heart of what I have to share this morning, a message titled, Yes, Lord, I Believe. Next Sunday is baby dedication, and those of you who are parents who have children know what it's like to hold those little precious bundles in your hands, and just to how proud you feel, and sometimes unequipped to raise these living souls that will spend eternity forever somewhere. It's just an awesome responsibility. And they grow. They grow from that stage to beginning to walk. No, I'm not going to implicate you guys at all. My children are worried I'm going to implicate them this morning. They begin to walk, and they get into things, and then the next stage they start talking, and we love to hear them talk because some of the first words are mom and dad. It makes us feel so proud. And they get a little older and they start asking questions, and they ask questions, and they ask questions, and they ask questions, and they said why. And after a while, as parents, we do the ungodly thing of saying, just because I said so. And children, please forgive us because we're human. We want to answer your questions, and that's what God has put us here for, to answer your questions. But sometimes we get tired of answering the why question. Don't stop asking questions. Please ask questions. I was thinking this morning, and my message changed because I don't know why, because I need it, and maybe someone here needs it today as well. But sometimes I wonder if God gets weary of us asking why. And in light of our series on worship, I believe one of the greatest acts of worship, and hear me out, I think one of the greatest acts of worship is when we say, yes, Lord, I believe. Yes, Lord, I believe. I believe there's a connection between our surrender to God, our ability to say, yes, Lord, I believe, in true worship. I believe there's a connection when we can come to that place where we say, yes, Lord, I believe. I believe there's a connection to true worship. I believe most people here today are probably even today struggling with some aspect of belief about God, about what he's doing in your life. You're probably wrestling with something, and it's not wrong to wrestle. Hear me. It's not wrong to wrestle because we're human and we want to know why. We want to know why our loved one was taken from us. We ask God why. His timing, his sovereignty. His sufficiency, is he really enough? Or do I have to work on my own? Is he really who he said he is? Is he really the only true God? The only one true God? Or is there another? Does he love me? The God who created the world, how can he be so interested in one of the how many billion people on the earth? Does he really love me? We wrestle with that question. Does he even know that I exist? At 50 North Schoolhouse Road is where I live. Does God even know that I exist there? Do you ever question God and wrestle with God? My prayer is this morning, no matter where we are, that you can hear the word of the Lord this morning. This morning, we're going to declare truth. We're going to declare the word of the Lord. We're going to read the word. We're going to hear the word of the Lord declared. It's my prayer this morning that you can hear the word of the Lord. And with your growing faith, say, yes, Lord, I believe. You may not be exactly there today, but in your growing faith and walk with God, from that foundation say, yes, Lord, I do believe. We're going to read a story in John 9. We're going to read the whole chapter. It's a story, a fascinating story about a man who said, yes, Lord, I believe. John chapter 9. So I'm going to narrate this some and read some and explain some as we go. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth, and his disciples, so I can imagine there's a group of his disciples with him. Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? What a belief system. Do you see the disciples' belief system that if you were sick, blind, or whatever, that is because you sinned. It was a belief system that they had. Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. So here we have Jesus performed a miracle. The man could not see. He was blind from birth. He spit on the ground, made paste, put it on his eyes. He went and washed, and he saw. And obviously there was a group around watching him. The neighbors, therefore, when they, which before had seen him that was blind, said, is this not the man who sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, nah, can't be. This is someone like him. We can't be seeing the same person. We don't believe this has happened. No one has ever been born blind and regained his sight. Therefore they said unto him, how were thine eyes opened? And he said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and received sight. Then said they unto him, where is he? And he said, I don't know. And they said unto him, well, where is? And they brought him to the, so they brought him to the Pharisees, the man who was blind. And it was the Sabbath day which Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. So here we have this group of people who didn't believe that this could happen. And so they had to take him to the authorities to figure this out. Take note that it was the Sabbath day. Verse 15, then again the Pharisees who asked him how he had received his sight, he said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, I washed and I do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And so they were divided. So here you have the Pharisees fighting among themselves. Some said, well, this couldn't have been of God because he did on the Sabbath day. And the other group said, well, you know, this man's a sinner, so it couldn't have happened. And it says, so they were divided among themselves. They said unto the blind man again, what sayest thou to him that he hath opened thine eyes? And he said, he was a prophet. But the Jews did not believe him, that he had been blind and received his sight. So they called his parents. So I don't know where his parents were or how old this man was, but they brought his parents in, and they questioned his parents. And they said unto them, saying, is this your son who said he was born blind? And how then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. So they said, this is our son. He was born blind. He now sees. We don't know how it happened. They feared the Pharisees because anyone who proclaimed Jesus would be thrown out of the synagogue. So they said, they deferred to their son. He's of age, ask him. Then again they called the man that was blind and said unto him, give praise to God. We know that this man is a sinner. And he answered in verse 25 and said, whether he was a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know is I was blind, but now I see. And then said they to him again, what did he say to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He said to them, I have told you already. You did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not whence he is. So here we have this man who was blind, standing up for what he believed in front of the Pharisees, in front of intense persecution. They reviled him. They made fun of him in front of all these people for believing in this man. I don't know where his parents were at in all this, if they supported him or what they did or where they stood with him. But you get the picture. He was pretty alone. It says in verse 20, they reviled him. They made fun of him. They angrily protested him. Verse 30, the man answered and said unto them, Why herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doth his will, he will hear him. Since the world began, it was not heard that any man opened his eyes of the one who was born blind. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Notice this man now is preaching a sermon to the Pharisees. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sin. Dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. So here, after the man gave the testimony, they kicked him out. They threw him out for his belief in Jesus. Verse 35, when Jesus heard that they cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he? Lord, that I might believe on him. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that is talking with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Now this was done in the context of other people watching him. Because notice what happens here. Jesus said, For judgment I came into the world, and they which see may not see, for judgment I am come into the world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. In other words, there's those who think they knew all. They knew everything. And he said, I come to make you blind. And now notice the Pharisees were watching. It says, some of the Pharisees, which heard these words, said unto him, are we blind also? So they're beginning to wonder, are you talking about me? Jesus said, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now ye say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. They claim to know it all. They kind of have all the answers. And Jesus said, you are blind. Notice the groups of people in this story. You have the group of people who say, this could not have happened. Like, there's no way. They denied that God could even do this, that it could even happen. There's no way. No way possible. And I was thinking about how that may apply to us in ways of not believing God. Like, we deny that he cares about us, that he knows about us, that he knows our name, that he even cares. This is some way that could maybe apply today. Or we limit the power of God. we limit what he is doing, could do in our lives. Or that person will never change. We have that group of people that are, that is involved here this, with this story. They become cynical, or maybe it was just plain unbelief. They didn't want to believe. And then we have the man who was blind, who said, you know, I don't know much about this man, but I know that I was blind, but now I see. And that he explained to me who he was, and I said, yes, Lord, I do believe. I do believe in you. And you may say, well, yeah, it's easy to believe. He just received his sight. Like, he just received his sight, then he couldn't see, and now he receives his sight. Of course you're going to believe. But think about it for a moment. He had a tremendous opposition there that day. Not only were his neighbors and friends didn't believe him, his parents kind of threw him under the bus and didn't want to take a stand. And the religious leaders threw him out. They cast him out when he said he was a disciple of Jesus. Was it easy to believe for him? Think about it. Think about our situation. We live in America, the land of opportunity, the land of freedom, the land where we can worship as we please. We have the ability to pursue God with all of our heart openly and not be persecuted as some countries are. We have the blessing and the favor of the Lord, and yet sometimes we struggle to believe what God has said. Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seems right to man, but the end of this is destruction. Sometimes we can't reason things out. It doesn't make sense to us. And so we come up with our own ideas, and we endorse that, we accept that. But Proverbs said there's a way that seems right to man, but the end is destruction. You may be struggling with your belief in God this morning, maybe unbelief, or God's ability to do something in your heart, in your life. Maybe you're doubting his timing, his love for you, your circumstances. Maybe your disappointment with people is clouding your belief of God. We all have a belief about God in moments of disillusionment and discouragement. We all have a belief and a response to God in the circumstances of our lives. But the question is, what are we going to do in the moment? What are we going to do about what God has said in his word in those moments, in our wrestlings? What are we going to do with God, with what God has said? I believe God is longing to hear his created say to the creator, yes, Lord, I believe. You know, as parents, isn't it beautiful when your children, when you explain to them, and they say, yes, Mom, yes, Dad. Not that they can't know why, but it's that willingness to do the hard, do what you want them to do, to do what you said for them to do. Yes, Lord, I believe. You know, God's not threatened by our questions, nor should we refrain from asking them. But in the end, our foundation needs to be, yes, Lord, I believe. The scripture says we need to renew our minds with scripture. So this morning, we're going to declare the word of the Lord verbally this morning. We're going to declare truth. And I've broken it into several categories of what we may be struggling with in our belief about God. The person of God, the atoning work on the cross, his sovereignty, his protection, his provision, his promises, his presence, and his power. We're going to look into his word, and we're going to declare the word of the Lord this morning. I want you to help me. Yeah, I did plug it in. Not sure what. There we go. I got it. Thank you. So we're going to read numbers of verses and declare truth into some ways that we may not be thinking correctly about God. In our struggling, in our wrestling, you know, we can kind of go off course and believe lies and believe things that aren't truth in our wrestling. So this morning, I want to declare truth, and I want us to declare truth. So we're going to start on this side of the room. This is going to be one section, this is another section, and this is the third section. And we're going to take turns reading verses this morning, and we're going to declare the word of the Lord. As a body this morning. So the first section is on the person of Christ, that God is who he said he is. And with the many voices today that are out there, that there is more than one God and God is not the only God, there's many ways to God. Let's declare the word of the Lord this morning. So this section, Isaiah 9 verse 6. First Timothy 2, 5 and 6. John 1, 1 to 4. In the beginning, I'm back over here, John 14, 16 through 18. Amen. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Next one is my Redeemer liveth. Believing that God is enough, that God's work on the cross was enough for you, for your salvation. Hebrews 4, 14 through 15. Go ahead. Seeing. First Timothy 1, 12 to 14. And I thank Christ. Job 19, 25 to 27. For I know that how about his sovereignty? We're currently going through a series in our small group by Max Lucado's. It's entitled Being Anxious for Nothing. It has to do with worry and fear, which none of us deal with. So I don't know why we're going through it. But since I deal with it, we're going through it. Talks a lot about America is the land, is one of the most anxious and fearful nations in the world. Go figure. We have everything, right? Why do we worry and fear? God's sovereignty. We struggle with God's sovereignty, God's timing. I want to read an excerpt from the book from Max. It says, "We will see that rejoicing in the Lord does not mean that we are in a constant state of excitement. We don't have to be carrying around a guitar and singing worship songs all day long. It is not about plastering a fake smile as we walk through dark times. No, rejoicing in the Lord always is about deep remembering. Remembering the Lord is here, always. Remembering the Lord is in control, always. Remembering the Lord is not only the giver of your day, but the ordainer of every minute inside of you, always. Remembering in the midst of pressure, pain, and anxiety in life, he is sovereign, always." So I think we're ready for Job 1:21. This was after Job lost everything. "Then Job arose. First Timothy 1:7. "Now the king..." First Chronicles 16:29. "Amen, the Lord reigns." How about his love for you? John 14:19-21. Romans 5:8. And we could go on and on, but just limited to a few there. How about his protection for us? You know, that's something we struggle with, that God can take care of us. We feel vulnerable. And do we believe that God can take care of us? His protection for us. Deuteronomy 31:6. "Be strong. Isaiah 41:10. Now his promises, we could go on with his provisions. I've got ahead of myself. His provisions. Philippians 4:19. Matthew 6:26. Psalms 34:8-10. Matthew 11:28-29. Now his promises, we could go on and on about his promises. I just picked out two. John 1, 9, 1 John 1, 9. Verse we used in our baptism class this morning. John 3:16. Let's everyone say this together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I'll read this in John 14:3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. How about his presence with us? We can feel alone in life, in what we're going through. Let's read some verses about God's presence. Psalm 139, 7 through 10. Where are we at? Middle? Okay, go ahead. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. About his power, do you ever question God's power and his ability to do in your life? And even in the world, as we'll see here in a bit. Ephesians 3, go ahead. Skip for sake of time. How about his power or weakness? We feel weak, vulnerable, unable to stand sometimes against the pressures. Psalm 69:23. Go ahead. Second Samuel 22:2-3. Go ahead. Joshua 1:9. Exodus 15:2. Psalms 27:1. How about questioning God's power to heal us? I'll read this one, James 5:13-16. Is anyone among you suffer? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him. Anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of the faith shall save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. John 19:11. Go ahead.
Jesus answered, you have no power at all against me, unless it have been given you from above.
Isaiah 40, 22 to 23. This is in reference. I forgot to put the title on. It's actually the last verse. It was the authority given to the world leaders. And, you know, we look at the world scene and we can be anxious. Do we really believe that God is in control? That's what these verses are referring to. So middle section, verse 22 and 23. It is... Second Chronicles 25 and 6. Go ahead. Romans 13:1. And the last one is Proverbs 8:15. Thank you for helping declare the word of the Lord. You know, it's good for us to renew our minds with the truth. Like I said, we can so easily be left to our own thinkings, and our view and our thinking can be so skewed that we become lost in our own thoughts and become prisoners of our own minds. So it's good to renew our minds this morning with the truth of God's word. And to be reminded that Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it does matter what we believe, but it doesn't matter in one sense that it doesn't change the truth about God, whether we believe it or not. The truth of God does not change. The truth remains forever. I want to close this morning. We're going to close with a song after I read these verses in Revelation 4. Revelation says, blessed is he who reads and hears the words of this book. It doesn't say understand. No, I don't understand everything. But we're going to read it and declare the word of the Lord this morning. It's a picture around the throne of God. And just in your mind, picture that he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that he is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our trust. He is worthy of our honor. And it's him we give our allegiance. It's him we worship. Yes, we will wrestle, we will struggle sometimes, but it is in thee do I put my trust. And yes, Lord, I do believe what you have said in your word about yourself. I want to read Revelations 4, 1 through 11. After this I looked, and behold, the door was opened in the heavens. And the first voice which I heard was as if it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. And I will show you the things that must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in the heavens, and one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like jasper and sardine and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow around the throne, in sight like unto emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders clothed in white raiment. They had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightning and thunder and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which were the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. In the midst of the throne and around the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes, before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, the second a beast like a calf, the third beast was the face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts, which each of them had 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give honor and glory and thanks to him who sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. And the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou created all things for thy pleasure. They are created. Let's all stand this morning as we sing. James, help me out.
Our God reigns.
Our God reigns. And this morning I want us to stand and declare that our God reigns in our hearts and in our lives, and that he is in control, and I can trust him with my life. Even though I may question, I can trust him as my King and my Redeemer.